God's trusting you with it. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. Well, anyway, what's next? Barbara's going to do share some teaching. Okay, go ahead and get ready, Barbara, and I get to teach a few minutes before she comes, and she's going to finish it up. I've already preached three sermons, huh? Amen. Barbara's going to be teaching today on the gifts of the Spirit, and today we're going to look specifically and intently into the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment. Is that correct? I'm saying that right? Discerning of spirits. I needed her to correct me on that because I want us to all be corrected. I want us to make a point about that. I, for one, and probably many of you, at one time or another in our history, we've said something along the line of, well, I have the spirit of discernment. Now, I've said that, you've said that, we may say it again, but it's not correct. If I have a spirit of discernment, you need to cast that devil out of me. Because if you really have a spirit of discernment, it's a spirit of divination. Doesn't come from God. How you say, preacher? Well, don't throw any rotten tomatoes yet. It's because it's a gift. It's a gift, and the gift is a discerning of spirits. It didn't say the gift was a spirit. The gift is a discerning of spirits. Now, I got out my trusty Webster's dictionary, and I looked up the word discern. Discern is to separate or distinguish between. Discernment. Discernment is the quality of being able to grasp or comprehend what is or was obscure. Discerning means showing insight and understanding. So if I see something going on in my life, I need to discern, I need to distinguish between good and evil. I need to distinguish between right and wrong. I need to distinguish between what's God and what's the enemy. I need to distinguish between and separate what is God, what is the spirit of life speaking, and what's my flesh speaking. It's real important that we have this gift operating in our life. Because he wants us to be able to discern and to distinguish between good and evil. And discernment, quality of being able to grasp or comprehend what is obscure. You're needing to discern what's right and wrong because something is obscure. You're not seeing it clearly. So you need discernment. You need to eliminate the obscure and see clearly. The discerning, ing, is showing insight or understanding. Once you are discerning of the spiritual activities in your life, then you have an understanding. The obscure is passed away. You have a clear view. You have a clear definition. And you have an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Now, we need to know what's right. We need to know what's wrong. And it's not always easy to decide which is which because they can look a lot alike. That's so important that we know the Word of God upside down, wrong side out, and backwards. I mean, we need to know the Word of God. And that is our guidebook, our guideline as to what is right and what is wrong. But even with that, we need the spiritual gifts in our life. We need spiritual gifts in our life. And we need to be able to discern things. Are they right and are they wrong? Paul, in teaching on the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, Barbara will be taking you there in a few minutes. But he said, covet earnestly or seek earnestly the best gifts. Now, you know, you've probably heard us say, and Barbara may even say it again today, the best gift is the one you need right now. Amen? Well, I agree with that. But looking at it from a bigger picture, I believe that the best gift may be the discerning of spirits. Because there's a lot of spirits out there, and there's false spirits and counterfeit spirits and lookalike spirits and copycat spirits. And I want to be able to know which one is God's spirit and which one is the counterfeit or evil spirit. I want to know. So I want God's gift operating in my life so I can know the difference. In 2 Corinthians 11, I think we ought to read that. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 and 14. Say amen when you get there. For such are false apostles. I may know the apostles are in the church. They're one of God's many blessings to the church. But there are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Now, if the devil shows up as an angel of light, it may be hard to know, is this good or is this bad? If a false apostle shows up that has transformed him into an apostle of Christ, it may be hard to discern and decipher the difference between a false apostle and a true apostle, because they may be saying 99% the same stuff. So we need to have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the discerning of spirits, so we can know spirits, separate spirits, decide which spirits are good and which are bad. I'll give you a quick example as Barbara gets ready to come and preach this, teach this. 1971, so you weren't even born then. 1971, Barbara and I were starving to death for more of God. It's funny, we've still got that hunger in our heart. In fact, a few weeks prior to what I'm about to relate, we were in Watsonville, California, just south of Santa Cruz, south of San Francisco. And we went to a Pentecostal holiness revival. I can tell you what that's all about later, but anyway, you get the picture. And a young woman by the name of Sandra Baker, a missionary in Monterrey, Mexico, was there speaking, and a spirit of prophecy came on her, and she began to prophesy over Barbara and I. And what she prophesied, I don't remember it all. It wasn't recorded. But I do remember one phrase. She said, "Lord, don't ever let them get satisfied." I remember that part real well. And, you know, so to that, from that day to this, you know, this has been 40 years ago, I'm still not satisfied. I want more God. I want more God. But during these days of seeking, I don't know all the reasons. I can't give you all the reasons why or how it worked. But somehow we opened the door for a false apostle to come into our life. And 99% of what he was saying was right on. But there was this one thing that was a little bit off and didn't quite jive with me and didn't quite fit with my theology, didn't quite fit with my raising because I'd been raised on the Word of God. But because he said so much and said it so elegantly, I began to follow him. And I followed him all the way to the point that I sold everything I had, sold the home that we were buying, sold the vehicles that we were driving. We consolidated everything into 9 suitcases. And me and Barbara and our 2 oldest kids, because the third one wasn't there yet, me and Barbara and Becky and I, we sold everything, put the cash in our pockets and what few things we needed in the suitcase, and we moved to Colombia, South America, and spent 2 months in the jungle hiding from the Antichrist because the tribulation had started on the 28th of November, 1971. You missed that? Now, this man was casting out devils. He was speaking in other tongues. He was blessing people. People were getting saved under his ministry. His ministry was growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, it was just an amazing ministry. But it took me 2 months in the jungle to finally start listening clearly to the Holy Spirit, who blessed me with a spirit of discernment. And I began to discern that this man was a false prophet, even though it didn't look like it on the outside. And once I discerned it, the falseness was there and the counterfeit was there, I began to put my life in a reorder mode. And we were able to make it back, miraculously make it back to where we have been the last 40 years, and here we are today. But it's like I had firsthand experience of following a false apostle, and had I not had the spirit of discernment working in me, I would have never seen the falseness in his doctrine, because everything he said made sense. He has scripture for everything. It's easy to be fooled unless the Holy Spirit gifts are active in your life and you're in constant daily, moment by moment, hour by hour contact with the boss. It's easy to miss it. And so I want to encourage you to seek God for all nine of his gifts. And I want you to pay special attention, at least today, with the teaching that comes forth is concerning the gift of discerning of spirits. How many want to know what spirit's right and which one's wrong? Well, the Holy Spirit is here today with his word to help us decipher that.
Amen. Hallelujah. The definition of discerning of spirits is a supernatural enablement permitting identification of the nature and character of the spirits. And this isn't just evil spirits. We're talking about the Spirit of God, discerning the Spirit of God, angels, demons or satanic spirits, and also human spirits. Sometimes God gives us discernment of what's in someone's heart. And we're going to go into scriptures on all of these. But the purpose of the gift is to see in the spirit world. We have two worlds. There's a natural world that we can touch and feel and see, and there's a real world that's even more real, that's a spirit world where all kinds of things are going on. And God wants us to be able to see into both worlds. In the Garden of Eden, God made man where he would be part of the natural world and also part of the spiritual world. God came and walked with him and talked with him in the garden. Hallelujah. But then he sinned and it cut, he separated himself from God, and he lost contact with God. And God didn't like that. He wanted to have the contact with man. Amen. And so Jesus came, and through his life and redemption, that it was opened up to where we can again have sight into the unseen world and have a part of the unseen world that we don't see with our natural eye, but we see, we have eyes in our spirit to see. Hallelujah. When Jesus died on the cross, the temple, the veil in the temple that kept people out of the Holy of Holies, it was torn in two from the top to the bottom. So it opened the way. When he died, it opened the way for man to come back in to fellowship with God, where the spiritual wouldn't be, the spirit world wouldn't be separate from the natural world. Amen. We're going to talk first about discerning the Lord. Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan, and behind them was the river, and before them was the city of Jericho, which on the natural was impossible for them to take. It was too late to turn back. Joshua had come to the most critical hour of his life. And how would he accomplish that great task? And at that moment, Joshua got a glimpse of a messenger from God, from another world. And as he stood alone, he saw a man with a drawn sword in his hand. And we're going to read Joshua 5, 13 through 15. And it says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come.'" Well, who is the commander of the army of the Lord? I think it's Jesus. Amen. And Joshua fell down on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. And so Joshua saw the Lord that came as a messenger and talk to him about how to win the battles. Amen. Remember in Acts chapter 9:7, Paul was on the road to Damascus. And he had an encounter with the Lord, was knocked off of his horse and blinded. He saw the Lord, but the people that was with him didn't see anything. They saw what happened to him, but they didn't see the Lord. But he did. And so it's possible for some people to be all in the same place and some to see the Lord and some not to see the Lord. Hallelujah. And then remember when the angels came and appeared to Abraham, and then later they came and appeared to Lot. And Abraham knew that they were holy men, but then he found later that one of them was actually the Lord, and then the others were angels that came to him with the promise. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through 20, we're not going to read about it right now, but John saw a vision of Jesus. All of this was what he saw, what Jesus looked like, and he gave a sight of what he saw of the Lord. Amen. Now we're going to talk about discerning angels. Sometimes people limit the discerning of evil spirits, but there's actually more good spirits than evil spirits in the universe. When the angels fell, only a third of them fell. And so there's a lot more good angels around than there are demonic spirits. Amen? That's good news. We're going to Hebrews 1:14, and it's talking about the angels, and it said, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" All of Hebrews chapter 1 is about angels, but it said the angels are to minister to those who inherit salvation. I'm an inheritor of salvation. The Amplified says, for the assistance of those who inherit salvation. And so the purpose of the angels is to assist us as born-again believers. That's good news, amen, that we have more. You know, we have heavenly help right there in angels. Amen. Psalms 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding to the voice of his word." And so angels heed or pay attention to the word of God, whether it's the written word of God or the prophetic word of God. Angels go into action when they hear the word. And so when we're speaking the word and praying the word, the angels are attent and paying attention. And here before that, it says they excel in strength. You know, our angels are strong and mighty. And it's just awesome to have them on our side. Psalms 34:7. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Fearing the Lord really means you have an awesome respect of the Lord. You're in awe of God. And when we're in awe of God and who he is, we know that there's angels camping all around us, ready to assist us and deliver us. Amen. Matthew 18:10 says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones," talking about the children, "for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of the Father who is in heaven." So we know that children have angels. Every child is appointed angels, and I don't think they leave us when we grow up. You know, they stay with us. They're still with us. Amen, and that's good news. We're going on to Psalms 91. I'm going to read 9 through 12. It says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, the Most High there in the Hebrew is El Elyon. And the nature, his nature that describes his character is love, light, life, freedom, and forgiveness. So we could read this, because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even love, light, life, freedom, and forgiveness, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Hallelujah. So, you know, when we're in love with Jesus, you know, his angels are there with us. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:2, we see where angels can appear as men. It says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. My grandmother told me a story many times when I was a little girl. In fact, it happened when I was a little girl, but she was in her kitchen and someone knocked on her back door, and a man was there carrying a violin, and he said, could you fix me something to eat? I'm hungry. And she says, yeah, come on in. And so she started fixing him a meal. And he got out his violin and began to play as she's fixing the meal. And then she gave him the meal and he ate. And he says, well, I've got to go now. Thank you for the meal. And he went to the door and had just stepped out. And she said, oh, I forgot to ask, thank him for the music. It was beautiful. And she went out the door just like in 2 seconds. And they lived in an open place. There wasn't anywhere to go. They were a house all by themselves. And there was no one there. She went around and hollered and yelled and nobody was there. And she knew she had entertained an angel. Hallelujah. Vanna told me a testimony. I think it was last week. Can I tell that? Yeah. She wanted to tell me after church, but when she was still living back in Chicago, they were having a very hard time financially. She had a whole bunch of people living in her home, and she had the only income for the whole household, and it was just really hard, and she was despairing. And they went, Tiana and her went to the gas station, and Tiana had a gas hog vehicle that cost $100 to fill up. It was just hard times. And this lady came up to Vanna and she said, I'm your angel and I'm here to help you. And she said, you need to quit being discouraged and look to the Lord and trust in the Lord, because I'm here with you. And then she says, I'm going to go pay for your gas. And she went and paid for $100 worth of gas, and Vanna went to try to find her. And there wasn't a lot of people around. It was an open area, and the lady was just gone. As soon as she paid for the gas, she was gone. And she knew that the angel came and paid for that tank of gas, and to encourage her to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Stay there. God's with you. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a lot of testimonies I can tell, and I'm sure that you all can too. And so be thinking about testimonies, and we'll probably have some time to do some testimonies at the end. About a year and a half ago, a group of people that were mostly from the IHOP churches had gotten together, and they were praying along the whole Mexico-U.S. border. They started in San Diego and went all through Texas, praying all along the way. God had led them to do that, and they had been put in contact with us and wanted to meet and pray for us here, and we did, met them, and just had an awesome time of prayer with them. But after she left, she emailed me, and she said, when we left Douglas on our way to Rodeo, we were very aware that the mountains that surround the valley had angels on the peaks of them. We saw them dancing and rejoicing. They surely are in the fight with and for you. Amen. And so we've felt and seen a lot of angels here. We've heard the angels here. One year at reunion, it's been a while back, we were worshiping the Lord, and you guys were singing the Hallelujah Chorus, and it just went on and on. And then we begin to hear extra voices and extra music. And it was just, we begin to hear instruments that we didn't have. And we had the Mexican people here, and Nina was kind of singing with her eyes shut, and she was like, man, these Mexicans can harmonize so beautiful. It's beautiful singing. And where she heard the singing come from, it was this section right over here, and she opened her voice or her eyes, and nobody was setting in that section. And then afterwards, when we was talking about it, a lot of people heard the angels singing that day. And so that's always fun. We've had many angelic visitations and things that happened here. Hallelujah. In fact, I could tell a lot. I think I'm going to go on and save some room for some of your testimonies. Amen. Now we're going to talk about discerning evil spirits. And before we get into that, I'm going to read scripture in Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. It says, when you enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, don't take on the abominable ways of life of the nations there. Don't you dare sacrifice your son or daughter in the fire. Don't practice divination, sorcery, fortune-telling, witchery, casting spells, holding seances, or channeling with the dead. People who do these things are an abomination to God. It's because of just such abominable practices that the Lord your God is driving these nations out before you. And so there's a whole lot of ways that people can communicate with evil spirits. And it really brings a curse on us when we do communicate with evil spirits. You know, anytime we involve ourselves in anything that has a base of satanic in it, we open ourselves for those demons to affect us. Amen. It could be horoscopes, curanderos, or Ouija boards. There's a whole lot of things that we could do to open ourselves up to evil spirits. Amen. And we don't want to do that. The gift of discerning of spirits enables one to detect the presence of an evil or seducing spirits. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. Mark 16:17. And it's part of the Great Commission. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. The first thing on the list was to cast out demons. And if someone has a demonic spirit, a demon spirit within them, the first thing you have to do is cast it out to be able to minister salvation, life, healing, whatever, to the person. The only way to deal with demons is to cast them out, rebuke them, command them to leave, resist them, you know, get rid of them. You can't reason or argue with a demon. It just doesn't work. Behavior modification doesn't work when you're dealing with a demonic spirit. I mean, the whole school system, everything's behavior modification. But if you're dealing with an evil spirit, you can't modify it. It doesn't change. The only thing to do is to cast it out. Amen. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, we are born again, we are filled with the Spirit, and we have the same job to do. Hallelujah. It's our part of our job to do good, heal those oppressed of the devil. Amen. Although all sickness originates from Satan, not all sickness is caused by evil spirits. But when this is the case, the person cannot be healed until the spirit's cast out. And we're going to read about examples of that. I mean, if you broke your leg, that doesn't mean it was an evil spirit. You did the wrong thing. You had an accident. And there's a lot of things that, you know, we can get that doesn't mean there's an evil spirit involved. But some things, a lot of things in the Word, are from evil spirits. We're going to read some of those. There's a spirit of infirmity in Luke 13, 10 through 13. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and she was bent over and could in no ways raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. So her condition was because there was a spirit of infirmity upon her. Now we're going to look at deaf spirits in Mark, deaf and dumb spirits. We're going to start in Mark 9, 25 through 27. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Amen. Then we're going to have a dumb spirit in Matthew 9, 32 through 33. It says, "As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, 'It has never been seen like this in Israel.'" Hallelujah. You know, you got to know the power of God is greater than the power of demons. He's stronger, he's mightier, and he, you know, you don't need to be afraid of demons. But if you're dealing with something, you need to have the you need to discern if there's a spirit there so you can rebuke it and send it away. Hallelujah. So deliverance can happen. Unclean spirits, Mark 1, 23 through 27. "Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" Who's living in us? Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have that abiding presence of the Lord within us. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a spirit of bondage, Romans 8:15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" We've been adopted by God Almighty. We don't need to have any fear. And if we're anybody that's tied up with fear, is in bondage to it. Fear has no place in our lives. No place. Hallelujah. And when we're consumed by it, it's a spirit of bondage on us. We're not free to do what we want to do because we're so crippled by the fears that we have. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind." Hallelujah. So if we have any kind of fear in our life, we know it's not of God. It's any kind of fear. Faith and fear can't be in the same place at the same time. They don't mix. They're like oil and water. You just don't mix them. Hallelujah. A spirit of heaviness. We're going to read Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And this is just an awesome testimony. An awesome scripture. And it's a prophecy of Jesus, but there's just one spirit, and the same spirit that was upon Jesus comes into our heart, it's upon us, it's with us. So we have the same anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. When we see anyone captive by evil spirits, what are we supposed to do? Set them free. Amen? Hallelujah. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. It said that he wants to trade a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Did you know that sometimes a spirit of heaviness can come upon you and you just feel all down and heavy and weighted down? And it said he wants to give us a spirit of praise. And I've noticed when I have any kind of heaviness within me for whatever reason, if I will make myself start singing praises to God, that spirit of heaviness just leaves. It's gone. It's just like, whew. It says it doesn't want to be around where we're praising God. You know, the light dispels the darkness. Hallelujah. And when we're in the light and when we're praising the Lord, the devil's just kind of run from us. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a spirit of, Numbers 5:14 mentions a spirit of jealousy. And we're not going to go there, but jealousy is a really bad spirit, really hurts people. Then there's the spirit of divination. Acts 16, we're going to read 16 and then down to verse 18. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Down to 18. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. So when he talked, he didn't talk to the girl. He was talking to the spirit. Amen. There's a spirit of Antichrist, 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is already in the world. People that don't believe in Jesus Christ, that he came in the flesh from God, you know, they're of the spirit of Antichrist. And we have a lot of, you know, people Antichrist right now. Okay, Luke 13:16. So ought this woman who has been a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Jesus healed a lady that had been oppressed for 18 years, and the Pharisees got mad because he set her free on the Sabbath. He said, shouldn't she be loosed? Jesus always wants people free. Amen. Ephesians 6:11 through 12, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle, I'm adding that word, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we are in a battle, but it's not with flesh and blood. It's with principalities and power. Now we're going to talk a little bit about discerning the human spirit. Sometimes God wants us, we need to know what's in somebody's heart, in their spirit. John 1:47-48. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Well, when Jesus saw him, he saw that he had no guile in his heart. He saw by his spiritual understanding. I mean, you can't just look at a person and say, well, there's no guile in their heart, unless it's revealed to your spirit and you're seeing with the eyes of the spirit. Amen. There are times when people of God need to know what evil men are planning. There are times when deception is practiced among God's people and which, if left unchecked, might work great harm. There are examples in the scripture where hypocrisy and lying were detected and dealt with, such as in the cases of Achan, Gehazi, Ananias, and other. Remember, Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit. And then his wife came in and told the same lie. They were in agreement to lie to the Lord. And he said, you've not lied to us. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. And he said, wasn't the money yours to do whatever you want to with it? But they wanted everybody to think they had given it all. And it was theirs. They didn't have to give it all. But they wanted the pride or whatever it was for people to think they gave it all. And they both fell down dead immediately because they lied to the Holy Ghost. In the days of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, Nehemiah was confronted by much opposition. Sanballat and Tobiah used every scheme and trick to try to bring the work to a halt. And the prophet was not only hindered from without, but he had the problem of discouragement within. However, when every plan failed, a hired mercenary of Tobiah and Sanballat came to Nehemiah with a warning to hide in the temple. And he said, they're coming here to kill you. Hide in the temple. And Nehemiah, it didn't sound right to him. He didn't recognize he didn't recognize the man as a spy. Then a flash of discernment came to him and he recognized that he was from the camp of the enemy. And I'm going to read that in Nehemiah 6:12. And it says, then I perceived that God had not sent him at all. I mean, he came as a prophet, but God didn't send him. His enemies sent him to prophesy. But he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Someone hired this man to go to the man of God and give him a false prophecy because they were wanting him to run. And he recognized it in his spirit. So we need to be able to see sometimes what's in the heart of people. Years ago, when we first started the church on 9th Street, a lady walked in the door and Calvin says, she's a witch. Don't welcome. But she had a family. She looked beautiful. She seemed sweet. And she came in and we didn't tell her to go out. And she stayed there and she really did a lot of damage because, and the Lord had told Calvin, but I mean, how do you say people, you know, the Lord says you're a witch, leave. but God he will warn us of things, people's hearts that's not right. Amen. We're going to go to Colossians 2, 9 and 10 and then drop down to 14 and 50. It says, for in him, that's Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, that's us, say me, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus is high above everything that's out there. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Every evil spirit, Jesus triumphed over them. He went into hell and he took the keys of death and hell away from the devil. Jesus is the high and we are in him. And so we don't need to be afraid of any evil spirit, but we do need to be alert and listen with our spirit Amen. Ephesians 1, 16 through 23, it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us to believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places." And listen to this, "far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet." That's us. We're the feet of God in this earth. "And he's put all things under our feet and gave him to be the head of over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Hallelujah. It's important that we realize our position in Christ and who we are and the authority that we do have. Hallelujah. James 4:7 says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." So when we're submitted to God and resist the devil, he has to go. And for 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not through our flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." We have the power of God within us to pull down strongholds. Amen. Hallelujah. When you're moving, we're going to skip that last one. When you're moving forward in the kingdom and have demonic opposition, here's what you need to declare. "I know I am in Christ." Let's say it together. "I know who I am in Christ. I am of God. I'm a child of God. I have access to heavenly resources. I am an ambassador of the Lord Jesus, whom I joyfully serve." And when you're talking, and then say, "Demon, you're just a demon from the pit of hell, and I come against you in the mighty name of Jesus. You get out of here, because I'm staying here to establish the kingdom, and there's not room for both of us." Yeah. Just get a John Wayne attitude. Say, "God's here, and there's no room for you. No room for both of us here." Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I would like to just open up the next few minutes. If someone has a testimony of an experience of having a discernment from the Lord, seeing angels of evil spirits, the Lord showed you something. Just if you have a testimony, I know Ramon has a whole bunch of testimonies he can give. Just thinking of one. But we are the body of Christ, and we have authority. And God moves with us and works with us. Amen? He's there. We've seen angels just deliver us over and over again. And we were in hard places and bad places. We were about to have a wreck in Mexico one day. It was on the Christmas trip, so we were in a van. And the weeds, we'd had a lot of rain in the fall, and they were like 8 feet tall, right beside the road. And you couldn't see anything. And the road, you know, there's no... the road, there's no shoulder, so the road's just, all we could see was weeds on both sides of us. And a horse jumped right out in front of us from the middle of those weeds. And Calvin slammed on the brakes, but there's no way we could have missed that horse. And that horse reacted immediately like someone was on him with spurs. A cowboy was on him with spurs, and he jumped and leapt out of the way. And Calvin just knew an angel jumped on that horse and spurred him to jump out of our way. And it saved our lives and the horse too. And we've just seen God move in so many ways, an angelic protection. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
So Pastor Barbara said, "I have a lot. I really do. I'll just give you one. One of the ways that the Lord has shown me to discern my spirits is listen to words. Sometimes people who have demonic spirits, they speak the enemy's language, the lie. And I've seen it a lot. And this happened to me. I was in Albuquerque at the Thursday. I was crossing the border. And a person come, I was listening to Christian music, and the person could hear it. It was in Spanish. And the person comes up to me, and he comes right up to me like this. He goes, "There is one God." And I said, "Oh, yeah, there really is just one God. Three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." It was the spirit of Jehovah's Witness. They used that to twist us, to, oh, yeah. So listen to words. Most of the times, this evil spirits, it's real obvious. Actually, one more example. One time, Melissa and I were in Cananea, and a woman came up to us, and she goes, "I need to be delivered. I'm a witch." Like, that's pretty obvious, okay? So just listen to words. It's real obvious. And she actually got delivered. So.
Amen. You know, God loves everybody. And we don't need to run from demon-possessed people because God wants them set free. And we're his vessels on the earth. That's our job. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I know Connie's had a lot of experience with the angels, and we all have. But God is just so, so good. So good that she's going to come. I knew she did.
This one in particular that's coming to my mind is about the Ouija board. So kids, don't mess with a Ouija board. It's nothing to mess with. It's of the devil. I can just say it that way. Many, 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 many years ago, this neighbor of ours, she claimed to be a Christian, but I couldn't see anything in her that showed me that she was a Christian, including her words and stuff like that. And anyhow, she had a Ouija board. And she says, "You want to use my Ouija board?" And I said, "No, I don't have any desire to use it." She says, "Well, it would like for you to use it." And I said, "What do you mean it would like for me to use it?" And she says, "Well, that's what it's telling me right now." And I'm thinking, what in the world? Now, this was my first anything to do with the Ouija board. I thought, oh, well, okay. And so the first question I asked it was, "Do you know God?" And it went to no. Then the next question I asked it was, "Do you know how much power God has?" It not only went to no, but it went up in the air and flew down the hall and crashed into something at the other end of the room. I said, "Well, Lila, there you are. That's how much power it has. None."
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. We have the power. Okay. Go ahead. Okay.